The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus came down with the 12, and he stood on a stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of people from all of Judea and Jerusalem and from the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. And raising his eyes toward his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. And blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and be glad on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. And woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in that way." The Gospel of the Lord. As you know, I am very diligent in preparing a homily. I read the scriptures a week in advance, and I carry the Word of God right through the week. I read the commentaries, I read whatever is Greek or Latin, and I'm very careful about preparing homilies. That's a mark of respect for the people who come to listen to the Word of God and understand how the Word of God has meaning for them, for you. Today is different, because up to about 10 minutes ago, I thought Father Albert was preaching today at all the masses. I thought this was his pledge Sunday, because last Sunday we had together in mission, and this Sunday was going to be his appeal for people to support the community. I just met him about 10 minutes before Mass, and I said, "Well, now it's hard preaching all day." He said, "I'm not preaching today." I said, "I haven't even read the scriptures." So I read the gospel reading about 10 minutes ago, and here's my casual, unenlightened reflection on the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. This is called, in Luke's Gospel, the Sermon on the Plain. Rather interestingly, in this Sermon on the Plain, people come from outside of Israel. They come from the region of Tyre and Sidon. So he is speaking to those not who are merely Jewish, because Luke's Gospel is a Gentile Gospel. He's speaking to a large crowd. He's speaking to every one of us here and beyond here. Its equivalent is chapter 5 in the Gospel of Matthew. But in Matthew's Gospel, his Sermon on the Mount goes on for 3 chapters. And this is a very brief parallel to what's found in Matthew's Gospel. In both accounts, Matthew and in Luke, they don't have any equivalent in John or in Mark. In both, the word blessed is used. In the Greek, that is makarios. It doesn't mean holy or blessed. It means having meaning in your life, having a certain inner order, a kind of a calm in your spirit, a sense that you have life together. Makarios doesn't have one word in English. It's a condition. It's a, It's an arrangement of your inner person that makes you harmonious. That's what blessed. And in this gospel here, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, let me just collect some thoughts on this Sermon on the Plain from Luke's gospel. There is an extraordinary writer named Margaret Atwood. She's a Canadian. And some of you may have read her most famous book, A Handmaid's Tale. But she has many, many books and many poems. And in one of them, she has this rather insightful observation. She said, what you touch is what touches you. Unless you touch something, it won't touch you. Unless you touch the poor won't touch you. You are shaped by what you touch. You are shaped by that which you experience in your life. And listen to the word of God here. Blessed are those who are weak. Blessed are the struggling. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are heavily burdened. Blessed are those who are rejected. Wow. Blessed are those who are rejected in a family, in a church. Blessed are those who are struggling to find Jesus Christ and don't find acceptance. The teaching of this is the call of a disciple is not to share your power or your wisdom or your riches. When you share your riches, you're handing down. Mother Teresa used to caution all her sisters, you cannot serve the poor by handing down to the poor. You have to become poor in order to serve the poor. That was her whole mantra in her discipleship and in her whole apostolate. She will only accept people who want to become poor and then serve the poor. Therefore, the call of the gospel is not to serve or to share our perfection or our riches. The call of the gospel is to share our poverty, to share our emptiness, to share our struggles, our uncertainties, our confusion, to share our questions. He doesn't say, blessed are those who are certain, and blessed are those who are enlightened, and blessed are those who know all the answers, and blessed is the church that's rich and strong and powerful. It's not what Jesus says. Blessed are you in your poverty. What I have to share as a minister of God's word is my poverty. It's my humanity, my emptiness, my struggle, my loneliness, my search for a deeper understanding of Jesus Christ in my life. That's my poverty. That's the gospel. Think about that. If the church could share its poverty, its struggle, its uncertainty, instead of preaching something absolute, if we could share our humanity, perhaps we could connect more with people. How do you enter into another person's life except through our humanity? All spiritual exercises demand this. In the exercises of Ignatius, that 30-day retreat, the beginning is, who are you? Truly, who are you? Not your image. I know the Trojans beat UCLA last night at the Galen Center. Johnny Wooden, who was a famous coach at UCLA, as you know, used to tell his players, Worry more about your character than your reputation. Your reputation, that's who people think you are. Your character, that's who you really are. And when we look at ourselves and our humanity, we'll find we're very imperfect. There's no perfect Monsignor. It's just a humanity. And when you share your humanity, the poverty of who you are in your humanity, you're speaking in words like compassion. You're speaking in words like understanding, like acceptance, like I know how you feel because I feel the same way. Today we're going to bless married couples today, and at the end we're going to have a couple speak to us about marriage. In my last incarnation years ago, I spent many years doing marriage encounter. And it's an instrument that's meant to build communication between the couple. How do we communicate? And the essential statement of communication was, I have to feel what you feel. I have to feel what you feel. You feel hurt? Tell me. I want to understand and connect with your feeling, not with your head, your mind. I can tell you that I like this person or don't. I'm not telling you anything about myself. When I tell you how I feel sad. I feel lonely. Well, how could you feel lonely? I'm around you all the time. They don't tell me how to feel. That's the way I feel. I have to connect with your feelings. We used to tell the story about this man comes home Friday night. He's been working hard all week, and his wife said, now, I know we were supposed to go to the movies, but I want you to go out and have a good time, play pool with your friends, and have a few beers. And he said, I know, but we were going to the movies. She said, no, you've been working hard. I want you to go out. Okay, I'll come home early. No, don't come home whenever you want. So off he goes to play pool. She sits in the kitchen. How does she feel? Abandoned. Lonely. She feels alone. Feelings aren't always reasonable, but they're always real. So when somebody tells you how they feel, don't tell them you shouldn't feel that way. That's rejection. Tell me how you feel. I feel lonely, but I have felt lonely in my life. I feel empty. I feel neglected. Or I feel joyous. I'm celebrating my life. I want to feel the celebration in your life. That's the gospel according to Luke today. How to share your poverty, not your riches. How to share your question, not your certainty. How to share your humanity, because all spirituality begins with incarnation. God became human and walked among us and called us as disciples to walk in our humanity. So the perfection, the all-holy Monsignor, is unreal. It's a mask. We're all visited by humanity. There are days when we're lonely. There are days when we're confused, when we're disappointed, when we're upset. And this human condition belongs to every one of us. Pope Francis would tell the priest, you must have on you the smell of the sheep. That was his metaphor for the priest. Priests can't stand up and say, I will tell you how to live. He will tell you how to live by the manner in which he lives, if he lives in his humanity. So listen to the gospel. Think about this in your family. When the young people come in and contradict you,
and give the impression you don't know what you're talking about, and they're all enlightened. See, I've gone through this, you know, where I was having dinner, and the father said, "Well, what do you know? You don't even pay taxes." Whatever paying taxes has to do with anything. But how do I feel? I'm young. I'm struggling. I'm uncertain. I'm lost. I want somebody to hold me. I'm lonely. Hug me. Listen to me. Bless me. I'm elderly. I feel alone. I feel abandoned. Well, I can't visit you once a week. Okay, well, but just tell me you understand my loneliness. You connect with my weakness. How do we connect? That's the Word of God. When you read the Sermon on the Mount, or you read the Sermon on the Plain, which is Luke, you'll find that the only way in which that will have meaning for you and for me is to enter into the flesh and blood of humanity. And then I will know what harmony really means. Not the feel good of handing down, but the fullness of belonging to the other person's humanity. Blessed, harmonious, peaceful is the person who is fully human and accepts humanity. There is no way, my friend, that I can begin to understand and accept your humanity, the humanity of another person, unless I have come to terms with my own humanity and I have accepted my own humanity. Only then have we a meeting place where the Word of God comes to life. Amen.